It is Thought Leader Thursday, and Chuck Garcia is here this morning. He's the Executive Vice President and Director of Commercial Deposits, Treasury Management at Associated Bank. And we're going to talk a little bit about those rate increases and more. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me.
The Federal Reserve's meeting, this is their big week. And we will see a rate increase, likely, three more of them coming this year. How does that affect your landscape, your world these days?
Well, it affects it a lot. Customers expecting to see their rates rise and banks trying to hold the line, for having rates basically at zero for, almost 10 years. Banks are trying to hold the line on what they pay back. But certainly as the rates continue to rise, the pressure to increase rates for deposit clients is growing. A lot of pressure from competitors. And then different sectors have different expectations, too, of what type of rates they're expecting. So you see a lot of movement, too. We're seeing a lot of movement out of core checking accounts. I'm talking on the corporate side predominantly here, out of core checking accounts into interest-bearing. Before, it didn't matter so much, mm-hmm. and so they'd take advantage of whatever internal rates we would give them for their services. So seeing a lot of different change, and then obviously the effects of clients eventually bringing much more money on shore is going to be an interesting piece, too.
Yeah, and that's the segue that I wanted to get us to, is that with the tax bill that was passed, there is some indication that companies, corporations are going to start bringing offshore cash back. Is there any evidence that's happening yet? And, if it's not, when do we expect to see whether or not that's really going to take place?
I don't know that we have seen a big swell of that just yet, but you expect it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Do they invest more in their own companies? Do they diversify in some way? But there's no doubt it's going to be coming. We don't see an immediate impact in our bank, but there's no doubt. I'm sure some of the larger banks are seeing some impacts there.
If the companies bring back all of these billions of dollars, whether they spend it on share buybacks or reinvest in their companies, banks are going to get the windfall from this, aren't they? Because it's going to have to go to a bank.
In most cases, yeah, it will. Yeah. Unless they choose a BlackRock or things like that, I'm sure they're going to spread money all over. But banks that are well-positioned on their balance sheet, have a good credit standing, and have the wherewithal to take those deposits in, there's an absolute great opportunity.
And the opportunity also exists for banks like Associated to do what else? To start experimenting in some other areas, move into some things that you'd wanted to do before all this money came back?
Well, I think, the key thing for organizations like ours, so we're a mid-cap regional bank. Knowing your customers, I think, is the really key piece for us. Where do we fit in that landscape? We aren't J.P. Morgan, which is a natural source for large, large blocks of deposits to go, large organizations like that. So knowing our customers and what their expectations are, how we invest, whether it's in technology, a new platform, people, whatever the cases may be, I think the key for us is knowing what our clients are wanting and expecting from us and being able to deliver on that.
If you had a wish list, if they came to you and said, Chuck, what would be your wish list? How would you rank those that you just mentioned there?
Well, I think continuing to invest in technology. It's a must. I mean, the whole convenience factor for large corporates, mid corporates, and consumers is going to continue. While branches are still important and we'll invest in those, I think first on my list would be technology. Second is right behind the people. You have to have the right people to be able to utilize the proper technology in a way that you can make it good for yourself, make it good for your clients. So you can have a great platform, but if you don't know how to position it appropriately and develop it appropriately, it can be actually a disadvantage.
I mean, refresh our memories. Back in 2008 and in the banking crisis that followed, did banks like Associated, did you have to pair a lot of employees? So you kind of, the landscape is different now than it was then?
I think what you would probably find in most organizations is net employees were down somewhat. Mm-hmm. I think what you saw and we saw was a real shifting of what people did. So whereas maybe we had people on the front line out calling on clients, whether they're relationship managers or my treasury management officers, for example, many resources were diverted to compliance. And so you saw a huge shift up. I remember the recruiters calling all the time about compliance people and the need for people in that sector. And that's a huge piece that has grown, not just in large banks, mid caps, but even the small banks had to invest there.
You've talked earlier about technology, and I know we've had conversations too about fintechs before. This notion that they exist by themselves seems to be losing interest, and everybody seems to be turning their attention to how fintechs can help legacy banks. We talked about that before, remember?
We have, yes.
Yeah. So tell us how that's actually taking fruition, how that's coming to fruition.
Well, I think what you're seeing is and I think what you're referring to, we talked earlier, like friend or foe type of thing.
Right.
I think what you're seeing is banks of all sizes today saying, wow, this could really augment something that I've wanted to do, but perhaps I didn't have the resources or the capabilities to make that happen. But Brand X over here has an almost immediate plug and play. So why would I not either invest in them, purchase them, partner with them? Frankly, partnering, I think, is the smartest thing. We as banks tend to absorb those type of entities, and then we make them part of the bank, and they're not as functional as they were. I'm a big fan of partnering with them. And also, they partner and are partnering with a lot of the vendors we use, for example. So we may have a large vendor of service A, and they're partnering with a number of fintechs to integrate into their system. So, you know, where a bank can go directly to a fintech, partner with them, purchase them, I think we're also seeing a significant amount of change in terms of what they're doing with our partners that we partner with on the technology side.
As a matter of fact, there's an article that we pulled in, this really good article from thefinancialbrand.com. It laid out point by point some of the ways that fintechs are helping legacy banks. And I'll just go through a couple, and maybe you could kind of comment on how that may be real world. Fintech improves the health of traditional financial institutions, helps provide a way for legacy financial institutions to improve customer retention and preference, also an opportunity to enhance loan portfolio diversification.
Well, I think there are any number of things, and I think what these two are really directing at, I will tell you overall, banks are not superior in terms of data integration and knowing what all their clients are, who all their clients are, what all the things are that they use. And I think this is referencing, if you can have an intelligence factor that makes you more targeted in whom you call on, what you provide to them, that's a huge advantage. And banks historically, we've not done a great job at that.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, you know, further on that, it's the data analytics, right? It's they can go and do a deeper dive than you can.
Yes.
If you look at a fintech, is there an example out there of a legacy bank and a fintech working together that you've seen?
I think what I've seen more of is I'm really not that aware of anything from the data integration and analytics on that front. What I've seen much more of is payment processing, and maybe there's a specific element that a particular fintech can provide that a bank says, wow, I can send money easier to this client base than I could go develop it for, so let's plug them into our systems. That's what I'm seeing much more of. And granted, I'm in more of the cash management side of the function, mm-hmm. So I'm sure there are many more that I'm just not aware of.
And it seems like, and I know we've talked about this before, these mobile payment apps, everybody has one now, a couple of them you can use between banks. Is that the way of the future?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think it's the younger generations are, that's just the way they interact with one another, which is a great thing. The second is it's beginning to seep its way into corporate type of payments. And I think there's no doubt about it that will continue to evolve.
So that would be what? So a corporation A could use their app to do banking, basically.
Yeah, today it happens in different forms. It's just maybe not as streamlined as we would like to see or as easy as a consumer type of application. And by all rights, the security necessary in a business-to-business type of payment environment is very significant. That's where the fraudsters love to hit. There's big money to be had. And so that's where a lot of the business email compromises or the takeovers are really prevalent today. So I think that once security becomes satisfactory for all parties, I think that evolution will continue.
On to another subject. Since the last time we talked, there's been a lot of news happening about Dodd-Frank and what's happening with that. I know the Senate and the House have both been pushing forward their own plans on this. One of the big plans rolls back some of the banking regulations in some areas. But in others, I know the Senate bill deals with some of the community banks that have been strapped with regulations, pulling a lot of those back. I'm guessing you think that's a good thing.
I think it's a great thing. Yeah. I think we've talked about this before. I'm a big fan of community banks. I think they serve a purpose and a function that larger banks, including ours to some degree, less so us, but the fact that they are in the community, they serve people in that community, farming, whatever the cases may be, I'm a huge fan of that. And they've had to divert enormous amounts of resource into things that are non-customer facing. And so I'm a big fan of that. I think it will help the economy. Certainly it will help those banks. And I think it will probably slow some of the combinations of those banks, in my opinion, because some of the combinations that have occurred have just been because it's too expensive to support that structure.
And remind our listeners, too, about what we're talking about here. The community banks have been lumped into a bowl together with giant banks.
Yes.
And the regulations that they're having to deal with are what? Regulations on
well,
what?
Well, the stress testing that has to occur, just the oversight that has been put on banks of all sizes has been significant. Now, was some level needed? Absolutely. Are these banks systemically important at that level to the whole financial system? Frankly, they're not. They're important to the community, and that they're very, very much needed, but they're not a systemic type of issue to our banking system.
One of the I mentioned that one of the Dodd-Frank plans rolls back a lot of the regulations, and I know that banks have come out and said, we don't want to go that far. Is there a danger here of rolling back too much of this too far?
Well, I think there is. I one of the things, you didn't ask this, but I am very much also in favor of increasing the level of systemic importance up to 250. I think that's probably going to happen. I think that will also be good for banks to be able to extend out and combine at levels that you can really get some integration and efficiencies that you can't today. But back to your other point, yeah, I think there is an element that we shouldn't go back to the way it was. I think some moderation is significant, but I also think oversight of the 5-10 real significant systemically important banks, not just domestically but internationally, is absolutely warranted.
The Treasury Department's gotten involved too in some of this. I know they said that they want to keep some of the powers in place that were created after the financial crisis. One of those is how you wind down a failing bank. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think what we all learned in a painful lesson that was, it's always easy after the fight is done. But in the midst of the crisis, the government interceding and allowing certain institutions to stay or be combined and others not to created mayhem. And I think this is the effort to orderly fashion wind down a systemically important, or any bank, but a systemically important bank in an orderly fashion, I think that's the right thing to do. It takes the government out of direct ownership and deciding your institution is better than mine. We'll let you survive and mine doesn't. I think the shareholder at the end of the day is needing to be on the hook. They lose in that one. But I think an orderly wind down is the appropriate thing.
Anything else on your radar screen these days?
Well, rates obviously are huge. We've got a lot of technology initiatives ourselves that we're trying to build in the bank. So it's great. The economy, knock on wood, continues to be robust in all sectors. We see really promising things for our clients, and it's a good time to be in banking finally.
Chuck, it's always good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Chuck Garcia is the EVP and Director of Commercial Deposits at Treasury Management Associated Bank. In our thought leader conversation this morning, we're going to continue chatting with Chuck after the bell this morning and post that in the podcast of the broadcast a little bit later this morning at WGNradio.com. You can listen to past conversations there and over at AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership as well. And make sure you follow Associated Bank on Twitter at AssociatedBiz.